Hello, I'm State Representative Dave Greenspan from the 16th District. Welcome to Conversation Ohio.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Conversation Ohio. I'm your host, Gail Crawley. We have with us today State Representative Dave Greenspan, who represents the 16th House District, which includes Bay Village, Fairview Park, North Olmsted, Rocky River, and Westlake in the western Cuyahoga County. Thank you for joining us today, Representative. You have had an extensive background in serving others. How did you first get involved in public service?
Sure. Well, my grandmother was very involved in philanthropy, and she always taught me the greatest thing you can give is your time. So from an early age, I was always involved in volunteering and giving back to my community. And there was an opportunity when I lived in Georgia to serve on a new city government in a city that was forming. It was the first new city in Georgia in nearly 50 years. So I was involved in the organization of the city and then decided to run for the city council, which I was fortunate enough to win back in 2005. Served there till 2007, and then when I moved to Ohio in 2007, we had a little thing with corruption in Cuyahoga County, as many people have heard, and so a new form of government was organized through a referendum. And at that point, I was encouraged to run for county government, for county council, due to the fact that, number one, I was new to the area, so I had no ties to any of the corruption, but also that I was one of the few that had been involved in forming a new government before. And so I ran for county council, was fortunate in 2010 to win, started in January of 2011 and served in that role until I was elected to the legislature in 2016. Mm-hmm. And obviously have had the great fortune of representing this district now for nearly 10 years, six of which at the county level and now four at the state. I'm in my fourth year. So I really have enjoyed the opportunity. I enjoy the opportunity to give back to our community and provide an impact to those to whom I represent.
Now tell me, what led you to run for state representative?
It was one of those opportunities that presented itself. It's not something that I sought out. We were in a situation with term limits in Ohio where my current council, current state representative at the time, Representative Nan Baker, was term limited out. Our districts, my county council seat and the state rep seat, are the same exact five cities. So having represented the county and the district for 6 years, really felt it was an opportunity for me to continue my service, but on a more broad application and addressing issues that impact not only the county, but the state. And so it kind of fell into place. Like I said, it's not something I necessarily sought out. It kind of happened, and I'm glad that it did.
You represent House District 16. Tell us a little bit about your district.
Yeah, it's a great district. It's actually surrounded two of the four sides by water. We've got Lake Erie to the north and the Rocky River to the east. The five cities have been working together in a council of governments for nearly 50 years. I've got great mayors and have great city councils and school boards that all know how to work well and collaborate together. So the communities were a suburb. Some of my cities are first ring suburbs to Cleveland, mm-hmm. but we're right there 20 minutes from downtown and 20 minutes from the airport. We're also only 30 minutes from Cedar Point, which makes us geographically a very good district to live insofar as being able to see and get around Northeast Ohio. It's a very family-oriented district. Mm-hmm. I always tease that we produce a lot of Eagle Scouts, and a lot of Eagle Scouts are indicative of strong family values, and that's what our district represents.
That's great. During the first half of the 133rd General Assembly, what do you think has been the biggest accomplishments in the Ohio House?
Well, we obviously came right off the bat and had to deal with some infrastructure issues in the state. And we all recognize that the challenges facing our roads and bridges and those infrastructure components have been under maintained for a number of years, not for lack of effort, but merely the simple fact that we haven't had the financial resources to support that. So it was very bold. Move of the legislature to support funding for infrastructure, which we did. Each one of my communities will receive a 65% increase in funding for local roads and bridges. So that was very impactful right away. And I've always said the strength of our state is dependent upon the strength of our local communities. Mm-hmm. And part of that is infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Another part has to do with cities and providing local government funding, which we did in this operating budget. We increased local government funding for the first time mm-hmm. in a number of years, as well did we increase library funding, and we also increased other funding for social services and community really based projects.
Okay, that's great. I know that you've been involved in a number of issues, and I really want to talk about your efforts to reduce bullying in Ohio schools. What led you to introduce the Ohio Anti-Bullying and Hazing Act, and tell me how it'll make a difference?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of us have had instances of bullying in our family, and my family is no exception to that. The numbers are staggering. 1 in 4 students admits at some point in their K through 12 education they were bullied. There are hundreds of thousands of kids who don't go to school every day for fear of being bullied in our schools. Mm-hmm. So it was a logical progression for me to take this stand, to stand up for those who have been victims of bullying, mm-hmm. while at the same time provide a piece of legislation that balances out dealing with the discipline side of the issue, but also working to ensure that bullying no longer exists by providing some form of community-based and services that will allow the bully themselves to understand that their actions are not appropriate.
I see. You've also been involved in issues that relate to mental illness.
Right.
Tell me about your efforts.
Yeah. So obviously we're seeing a lot of violence throughout our nation, and a lot of the acts that we're seeing, whether they be active shooter situations, whether they be cars who, as we saw in New York a few years ago, and my daughter lives in New York, so I'm keenly aware of issues where we've had folks with mental illness who have committed acts of violence. And so what we tried to do in House Bill 338 deals with mental health and deadly weapons, and how is it that we can create a protocol that would be able to identify those who have mental illness, mm-hmm. and help them get treatment so that they don't commit acts of violence. And that's kind of the focus of this bill and the efforts we're putting forward there.
Now let's talk about House Bill 194.
Right.
That's
right.
Your bill. It's legislation to legalize and regulate sports gaming. Right. Talk a little bit about where we're at with that bill.
Yeah, so Representative Bridget Kelly out of Cincinnati, she and I are working on this bill together. This is one of those bills that is not as controversial as maybe I would have thought it would have been when I started this 2 years ago, mm-hmm. but it's one that is receiving a lot of attention.
Yes.
In May a few years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court allowed for states to legalize sports gaming, and I was asked then to start focusing on this piece of legislation. And so it's evolved. I've evolved. It wasn't necessarily a piece of legislation that I thought I would ever introduce, but it was something that I've dug deep into. We believe we've crafted a piece of legislation that will be a model, a piece of legislation as to how we deal with a lot of issues, especially around integrity. Mm-hmm. The bill has had 8 hearings in the House Finance Committee. We believe soon, as we start moving into February, that we'll be able to advance the bill and send it to the Senate and start the dialogue in the Senate to legalize sports betting. I've always said my hope is to bet on the Browns in the Super Bowl, and so now hopefully we'll get it in place for the next Super Bowl, and they'll be able to wager here in Ohio legally on the Browns.
That's great. It's
no disrespect
a lot of
to
potential.
The Bengals.
Yes. I understand that the Ohio Driver's License Reinstatement Fee Amnesty Initiative mm-hmm. was received well.
Right.
Discuss with me the findings of that pilot program and why you're interested in permanent.
Sure.
Legislation.
Well, that was a piece of legislation that former Representative John Barnes, who's from the Cleveland area, he approached me and said, look, let's work on this together. This mm-hmm. is an important issue. Mm-hmm. And once we dove into the issue and to find out exactly what the background was on it, the statistics are actually quite staggering. There were 8 million driver's licenses issued in Ohio. Nearly 1 million of those have some form of suspension on them, and the average has 3 suspensions per driver's license. In the urban counties, the county that I represent as an example, the number is 1 in 4. So 1 in 4 drivers is driving on a suspended license. Some of those issues and the reasons they're not able to get them reinstated is the fact that they just can't afford the reinstatement fee to the Department of Motor Vehicle. So what this bill does, it basically says after the individual has met all their court-ordered obligations, whether that's jail time or prison time, whether that's restitution, the fines, once all of that has been met, and if after 18 months they're unable to pay their BMV fees, mm-hmm. then there shall be a program that allows them to pay a reduced amount if they're able in order to get their driver's licenses reinstated. If they're unable and they're indigent, they prove their indigency, the fee is waived. And so in no way does this prevent or inhibit the criminal justice system from doing its role and playing its role. What this does primarily is focus on the BMV fees, the fees owed to the state of Ohio.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about government transparency. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too long ago that Ohio was considered the worst in the country.
Right.
And now we're a national leader.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature has looked at you as an advocate for transparency. Tell me why this is important to you.
Well, when I came into office and started, actually back up, when I started running for office in Cuyahoga County, and I was asked to run, and I said, okay, but you've got to let me run my platform, because everybody talks about creating jobs and environment for job growth, and I don't disagree with that. But in Cuyahoga County, remember, we were coming out of a corruption scandal. And so I took a bold position, not to me, but to some, to focus on ethics and transparency in government. So as a candidate, within 2 weeks of declaring my candidacy back in 2010, I made the decision to come out with a draft ethics ordinance because I felt it was important. People invest in businesses and they invest in states and in regions primarily due to two primary components. Number one, the strength of the product and the strength of the environment. We have a great business environment and a great environment here in Northeast Ohio and in the state of Ohio, but we lack that trust in our government leaders. So I immediately introduced the ethics ordinance and followed that up with an inspector general ordinance, which were both adopted. And as a matter of fact, last year, Cuyahoga County made, as part of its charter, permanent the inspector general. So I came here to the state, and I wanted to focus on some of those same issues. So that those issues are very important to me. We were able to introduce the last General Assembly, Representative Jonathan Deaver and I worked on the Ohio checkbook, which was initiated by then Treasurer Mandel to display the expenditures of political subdivisions throughout the state of Ohio. It's a great program, but it's voluntary for the treasurer to do this. And what we want to do by this bill is make it a permanent duty of the treasurer. Fast forward, Treasurer Sprague has embraced the program as well, but there was always a little bit of tension between OBM and the treasurer's office. It was really a proprietary issue. Mm-hmm. We've been able to come to terms, and our bill that we're hopefully going to be passing here soon onto the governor to sign represents that compromise between OBM and the treasurer to permanently display the expenditures, provide transparency to our residents so they can see the impacts of their tax dollars in each of the local communities.
You've made constituent service a top priority, mm-hmm. making sure that the folks in your district, their voice is heard here in Columbus. What has your office done to enhance your constituent service activities?
Well, it's always important for me to have direct input and contact with my residents because that's who I represent. Mm-hmm. And so from when I took office in my first term, we started having these district roundtables. We brought in committee chairs from the various state house committees into the district to talk about the work of their committees and what was going on. That was a great way for me to have community outreach. Obviously through traditional social media channels. Mm-hmm. We have always produced a quarterly newsletter that lets individuals know what's going on. We publish our contact information on there. I have a policy within my office and we try very hard that every email, phone call, or letter gets a response. And whether it's an email back to an email or a letter to, more often I prefer to call individuals. And so I take it upon myself to do direct outreach to my constituents to ensure that their voices are heard. Sometimes the calls go well, and sometimes we're on different sides of an issue, but I try to make that call because if somebody makes the effort, it's incumbent upon me to reciprocate and return that effort.
And finally, before we close, for the folks watching us, how can they get in contact with you?
Well, great, and I appreciate that. And please reach out to our office because it's important that I hear back from everyone. Our office cell phone number is 614-466-0961, or you can always email at rep16@ohiohouse.gov.
Representative Greenspan, thanks for joining us on Conversation Ohio.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you for joining us today. And please reach out to our office.